Dom Antoine, Lakers and Raiders.
Hey folks, what is going on with the world today? Are in the Twan and Dom podcast for the Lakers and the Raiders, and this is episode number one. First off, I just want to start off by saying that me and Dom, we're such cool guys. You know, we both live in the Bay Area. We're huge sports fans. We both currently work at Safeway, and we're just trying to figure things out.
All about the hustle.
And we always talk about the Lakers. We always talk about the Raiders. So we figure, why not start a podcast and say things that are really on the minds of the people?
Yes, sir.
You know, so what we're going to do is we're going to be just coming to you weekly, giving you a podcast update, just talking about the players, talking about the coaches, talking about situations that we see, talking about the things that we've seen in the games, maybe that other analysts and these professional establishments are picking up on because they have to stick to their narratives. We're just going to just be giving you the straight real, you know.
No one answer to.
All right. And right now we're going to just introduce ourselves for a little couple seconds to get going with the podcast. Dom, why don't you step up and introduce yourself?
What's up, Raiders Lakers? I'm Dominic Maciel. Hey, I'm like Twan said on the podcast. Hey, I'm just a grinder. I'm out here trying to figure things out here in the Bay Area, North Bay Area. I've been here my whole life. I'm a Cali boy at heart. I love my Raiders at number one and my Lakers number two, Kobe number three. That's how I do things around here.
Amen.
And that's all
to
I
that.
Gotta say.
Let me ask you a question just to get, you know, more in depth with who you are.
And, yes, sir.
What's your favorite Raiders memory that you've had, you know, so far?
Oh man, okay. You know, it's gonna sound funny, but it was the year we couldn't win a thing. It was maybe 2005, the year the Steelers. They won the Super Bowl. They were Super Bowl champions the year after, and we couldn't win a dang thing. The Raiders were 2-14 this year, but my dad got some tickets.
Uh-huh.
We sat right there in the black hole.
Okay.
Oh, I got to see everybody. I seen Kirk Morris and Thomas Howard killing it, getting the black hole hype, getting Raiders hyped.
Okay.
And somehow, some way, we got 5 interceptions off Big Ben, two for touchdowns. My boy Nnamdi got an interception. And that was probably the best I've ever seen, man. Everyone in Oakland was happy. Didn't matter what the record was. The nation was good. We got that win against the Steelers.
Well, that's excellent, man. What makes you such a huge Lakers fan? What makes you like these guys the most?
Oh, man, you know, it started in those Shaq Kobe days, you know?
Okay, I can agree with that. That's around the time I started following.
Yeah. When I was just a kid, I seen young Kobe with the fro killing it, maybe his second, third year, finally coming into his own.
Yeah.
And I'm a Laker since then, man. I'm going to be there till I'm dead.
Okay, so that's a little bit of information about our boy Dom, and he's going to be joining us every week. You know, we're going to be killing this dynamic duo,
yes,
Twan
sir,
and Dom.
Yes,
you know, my name's Antoine. I go by Twan, and I'm originally from Louisville, Kentucky. I live here in the Bay Area, so I guess you would call me a Raiders fan by default. And they've kind of grown on me. You know, everybody cheers for him. Everybody's got their whole Raiders chant going on everywhere you're going.
You ain't even doing it right.
I would say I'm a fan by default, but you know, if you live in this area, there's enough information going around about the Raiders and enough crap being talked by 49er fans for you not to be updated as a sports fan. It would just be a freaking shame. Like you said with the Lakers, I'm a big fan of the Lakers, you know, because the Kobe Bryant days and the Shaquille O'Neal days, I remember in 1998, they was going in the playoffs to face the Utah Jazz. It was the Jazz.
Oh, man.
It still had Karl Malone and John Stockton, that whole gang. And I remember them standing outside the locker room one day just going, down, down, down. Utah's going down. Whoa, down, down, down. Utah's going down. And I was just on that train, and they were swept. And I remember crying and hitting the closet and just feeling like so yucky and just saying, Kobe's going to avenge these fools one day. And you know he did, so I went along for the ride. So that's pretty much why I'm a Lakers fan. You know, you'll probably see me and Dom get a little bit passionate when it comes to talking about these two teams and our opinions and what we think. But you know, if Stephen A. and Max Kellerman and Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp can get up every morning and do it and contribute their opinions and be known by people,
we
feel like we can do the same thing. So, you know, without further ado, we're going to jump right into this first segment, which is going to be the Raiders. Raiders!
We still here, Raider Nation. We still here.
Stand up, Raiders! All right, so getting into the first topic of the day for the Raiders is the turmoil that the team is currently under. You know, if you walk around this town, this city, you're not hearing too much positive going on with these guys right now. So what are you thinking, man?
Look, I mean, I love them, but we got to chop it down. We got to be real right now. The defense is lacking.
Okay.
We definitely hurt without Khalil Mack. You know, we can't get any type of pass rush. We can't get any type of pass coverage, man. These DBs seem like they can't catch anybody, man. They can't catch a damn thing.
I'm seeing the same
and
thing.
The linebacker play is below average.
Okay.
The offense is supposed to be great. You know, Gruden comes in, he's the offensive mind, and we're just not performing the way we need to. We can't win any games on offense like we used to back in the day and 2 years ago when we went to the playoffs, when Carr was the MVP. We just can't win games relying on Carr anymore. And
the thing I'm noticing the most with the Raiders this year, far as the term was, it seems like every time something goes wrong on the field, it seems like everybody's looking around at each other, looking, and nobody knows exactly what's going on. And it's like, what's going on? What's the real sense of direction of the team? Well, where are they headed, man?
The thing is they got 30 new cats on this team. They weren't there last year. So like you said, when you see people turning around, looking around, they don't know who to look to. This is a brand new team. They know we're already in turmoil. We know we're in the rebuild mode.
Okay.
And it's tough. It's tough, man. We gotta bite the bullet and we gotta get through this season. We gotta see who wants to be here. We gotta see the rookies develop and we gotta get to that draft, man. We gotta get to that draft.
So the thing I'm noticing the most when I look at a Raiders game, I noticed that when Carr runs off of the field and he goes to approach John Gruden.
They got that little talk going.
They got this thing going on and they don't look like they're on the same page. Call me paranoid or overreacting in this situation, but it doesn't seem like they really have had that connection that you see in, you know, people that's been around each other for a while. Granted, they haven't been around each other for a long time, but you would think that they would quickly hit the ground running, being with them, their history. You know, John Gruden set him down in the Gruden camps when he was on ESPN. It seemed like he really liked the kid. He was high on him coming in.
It's
just like, what's going on with that relationship, man?
It just seems like they got a ways to go. You know, I think they thought that this offense would be a lot more complex and it'd be more understood by the not only the quarterback but by the offense.
Okay.
And things weren't clicking quick enough for everybody, and it all hit them at once, and we started losing. You know, that's really what it comes down to. Carr doesn't have a grasp of the offense the way he should, and you know what? Everything trickles down from there. In terms of the body language between seeing them communicate, I'm not mad at it because they're always sitting there and they're talking it out, regardless of an interception, if it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
They come to the sideline, they talk it out.
Yeah.
He explains himself, talking about Carr. Carr explains himself. Gruden looks at him with a disgusting look most of the time.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's just Gruden, I feel like. You know, I don't think it's anything to worry about, to be honest with you.
Okay. Overall, how do you feel that Gruden is... You know, how do you feel like he's handling this? You know, because he came in talking about we were going to win, this was what we wasn't going to lose, this season away, and here we are, we're at 1-8, and two trades away from Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack, and you know,
reserving cut.
Yeah, it's just like it's not what we expected.
Exactly. And that's the thing that really rubs you the wrong way with John Gruden, honestly.
Okay.
Is that he comes out, he pumps Raider Nation up, obviously just signing Gruden brings life back to the Bay Area, honestly. It's the guy. It's really looked at as the guy around here.
Exactly.
If you're around Oakland, you know, John Gruden is loved around here. He's loved. Yeah. He is loved. And the thing is he comes out and he said, I'm gonna get Mac. I'm going to make Carr the best, you know? I'm going to do this, that, the other thing, and now we're sitting here 1-8, and it all looks terrible.
Yeah.
He looks like he really just lied to our faces.
And honestly, it looks like they're just like, it seems like him and ownership are just planning this escape to get to Vegas. It's like everything is just working towards Vegas and the heck with Oakland, you know?
And as being a Raider fan for so long, from a kid to now, and going to their games in Oakland and hearing all the crap we get is... as the second team in the Bay Area sometimes, you know, it's rough to see us go out like this in Oakland, you know, especially with 2 years ago, like we said, we was killing it.
Yeah.
And now we got to deal with this, and we got to deal with the fact that they just going to leave us like this.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't look like it's going to end on a high note.
It's rough. He lied to us.
Okay, so, all right, so moving on, you know, we got rookies that were drafted last year, and
right.
My thing is I want to get your opinion on some of the rookies that we've had this season, and what do you seeing out of them, and what are you seeing in their development, and what role they could possibly have in, as a future player on this team?
Well, I think definitely they got rushed into a hard situation. They don't get very many vets to follow any lead with, you know. They're pretty much out there by themselves trying to do their best. Okay. They got to go out there by themselves. Derrick Johnson got cut. That was one of the stronger veteran presence. Obviously, he wasn't cutting it.
Okay.
So, you know, how much could they really learn from the guy? You know, he was there for a few months, you know, and now the rookies got to go right into the fire. I think John Gruden met with the rookies. He told them, hey, you guys, you got to act like five-year vets. You need responsibility nowadays. It's your time to shine. It's really your time to shine, you know?
Okay.
And I think they stepped up last week. They did. They look good. Arden Key finally looked like he was a little bit of Alden Smith in him. He had Alden Smith in him. He was finally getting some spin moves in, switching it up, getting to the passer. He didn't get any sacks, but he finally looked like he has some spunk. Hurst is a beast, man. I think that kid has a lot of future. He's got a good future.
Yeah, he really has a huge upside.
He's the anchor, D tackle, man. He's really sealing it up. PJ Hall's coming in too. We got a solid D tackle going, combo going between those two. And Garen Conley, I know he's not a rookie, but he did some shutdown things out there. He did some shutdown things.
Yeah, even though he's technically not a rookie, I still get him in that category. Exactly. With him developing.
He should have been in that meeting with Gruden, honestly. I hope he was.
All right. So, you know, switching subjects from that, going into Carr. You know, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, you know, with him and the whole body language with Gruden and things of that nature. I mean, here's the thing with Carr that I want to talk about.
Go.
You know, I don't think that he's playing terrible. I don't think that he's making bad decisions. I mean, he's had a few questionable interceptions out there.
Definitely.
But the thing is that he's got a high completing percentage, you know, so he's completing the ball. It's not like he's not out there slinging the rock. We're just not getting a lot of results. So what do you think that you're seeing the most out of him that is the reason why, like, maybe the numbers look okay, but we're not really seeing the results? What do you think could be causing that?
Well, one thing definitely is we going short most of the time. He's not looking downfield, and that goes to the line also. He doesn't have much time, man. Colton Miller and Brandon Parker really been struggling on those edges.
Yeah.
No slack to them, honestly. They're rookies, and like I said, they got thrown into the fire, so they got some time to develop, and, man, they're not developing fast enough, obviously, but Carr doesn't have too much time, so obviously Gruden's game plan and throw it short.
Okay.
Jalen Rashad getting a lot of those little bucket passes. The tight end's getting fed a lot, and those are good, maybe. They're getting their stats, but it really hurts the offense when the receivers aren't producing the way they need to. And that's what's happening. Carr's not getting them the ball. That's really what it comes down to. We gave him the money to get it done.
Gotcha.
And the boy ain't getting it done, man.
Nah, I mean, like, if you ask me, he looks a little rattled when people get close to him. Yeah. Now, I understand that
the stats do look good. He's almost ready to get about, what, 4,800 yards around there, 4,500 yards on the season, about 20 touchdowns. I mean, it doesn't look bad.
But you're just not seeing the results that you need to see.
Exactly.
So, like, he looks a little timid when people are around his feet as well. So, like, you know, like, I know that, you know, any quarterback, when they're under the duress, you know, like, it's hard to focus and throw the ball down the field. And I will never take that away. I've never been an NFL quarterback, so I can't say what it's like to be out there. But if you look at some of the elite or at average quarterbacks that complete a good, decent amount of throws, what do you think that is the cause of him being timid and jumpy when people are around his feet? Because it seems like when they get around him, he just seems to lose sight of the field, you know?
He's dealt with injuries before, and it seems like that's definitely in the back of his head somewhere. And it goes back to not trusting those linemen as much as he should be.
Absolutely. So, you know, transitioning from Derek Carr, We want to talk about Doug Martin and the backfield, the future of the backfield. You know, Marshawn's out right now. Doug Martin, he looks good. He looks like he can get the job done. But you know, ever since he's been at Tampa Bay, he's always been this high profile guy. But we really have never gotten the production out of him that like to live up to that profile that he has.
Yeah.
Rashard's a good back, but what are you seeing with the backfield, and what are you thinking? What's your opinion on what direction we're going with that?
I think the backfield's a question mark right now, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question mark because we thought Marshawn Lynch was going to be the guy. Obviously got hurt. That's unfortunate. It's not his fault. But then we're kind of stuck with Doug Martin. It's a forced play where we wanted him to get 10 touches behind Marshawn. We wanted him to get that touchdown in the red zone.
Okay.
But now he's forced into this big role, which he kind of failed with in Tampa Bay. You know, that's how I kind of look at that. But he did look good. He got his rushes. He got a good average his last couple games. But it seems like he really can't. He can't get 20 touches a game, in my opinion. It doesn't seem like that's the way our offense is going to succeed.
Yeah.
Jalen Rashard, I think he's probably the most sure back right now. In terms of future, he's probably the one guy that's going to stick around. Because Marshawn's obviously at the end of his ropes. Doug Martin's kind of on the one-year contract and iffy. So Jalen Rashard seems like he's the golden goose right now. And in this day and age, we need a Deion White or a James White type of player. You know
right.
What I'm saying?
I mean, you got to have that scat back kind of guy back there that
I love
can do
that
everything.
Kid. I love that kid. Jalen Rashard is the man, if you ask me.
Okay, so let me ask you this about the backfield. I noticed something in the game Sunday against the San Diego Chargers.
Right.
I noticed that we had went to the I formation, and I noticed that I never saw that
That's
the whole
point.
Season that we had Marshawn Lynch.
That's a good point.
You know, we got him back there beast mode, right. And we can't get nobody in front of him to get him a head full
That's
of steam.
A good point.
But the other guys can get that. So, you know, I just, you know, what do you think about that?
I think that's a great point, honestly, on your point, because the thing is we should have been running that I with Marshawn, and the fact is we run it so little at this point for us to put it in the offense now.
This is
the
redundant.
I is it looks so predictable.
Yeah.
You put the I in with when two plays in out of 50, and you know the defense knows you're gonna run it. So like you said, they need to implement that early. They need to pound the rock. We need to wear down the defense. That's the only way the I formation is going to work if you commit to it, you know, honestly. That's the only way. And like you said, they didn't commit to any type of I. We signed the fullback in the offseason.
Yeah.
We told them it was going to be a big part. It never was a big part.
It's all over the map, man. You can't get
Definitely.
Really put a thumb on this team. So who on the team this year, veteran-wise, you know, we're 1-8. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to do nothing. We're not making
right,
any noise.
Right, right.
So, like, on the team, what veteran presence that's left, mm-hmm. who do you see being able to stick around and lead this next generation of players to where they need to be at, that where Gruden could use them as leaders?
Yeah, well, like you said, Tuan, it's pretty much a wash on the season. We don't have any playoffs to look forward to. We got the draft, obviously. But we still got 7 games to play, and we can't just play for pride. We got to look at the future. So we got to look at people that actually want to stick around with us. And obviously, if they can't stick with these last 7 games and play hard, they don't want to be a part of our future. So that's one thing you got to look at. And in terms of who is shining, I would definitely put Jalen Rashard in, who we just talked about. He's someone that shined through all this chaos and still got in his yard, still looked like a good running back. Jared Cook, man, he's still putting up receiving yards. He still looks like they can put him out wide and put him as a number one
receiver.
Heck,
if you ask me, he's like the only guy that you can trust to throw the ball to at this point.
That's what it seems like with Carr really seems to trust him more than anyone else, really. We got Jordy, and it seems like Cook's doing what Jordy was supposed to be honest.
Gotcha.
And
he's been real quiet.
Cook's definitely one of the guys that we should definitely look to keep. And, you know, Jordy, really, he's with 350 yards receiving halfway through the year. I mean, it's not really
at this point. You gotta say it's not working.
He's getting big money too compared to everyone else on this team.
Yeah, that money could be going to maybe a cheaper guy that can get you more production. Okay, I got you on that point.
I think Martavius Bryant also, he's kind of up in the air. We don't know if we can keep him. You know, he's got the suspension thing looming.
Yeah,
he looks like he can flash big potential, man. I really thought if we used him the right way, he could kind of sort of replace Amari Cooper's his production.
But
he just quite can't get it together. The same thing as his career goes. You know?
Yeah, because I feel like he's definitely regressed over the time. You know,
but the man eeks talent. He literally reeks. Of
yeah,
talent.
I mean, I see exactly what you're saying. I have no arguments with that. So. Transitioning, I seen a graphic up on the screen watching the game, and you know, you always hear about the draft picks and how many draft picks are coming in, but when you actually see it in front of your face, it actually looks quite impressive.
Right.
The collection of draft picks crazy. That this team's going to have over the next 2 years.
It's historic.
They're going to have some picks, a lot of picks coming in next year at 2019, and, you know, as many in 2020, you know, not barring any big moves.
So got two first-rounders, though, in that draft. We got three this year, so, man, it's looking like we could really do a lot of damage. You know, we need Dallas to keep losing so we get two top 10 picks, and Chicago's looking like they're really shining, so, you know, that might be a little later, but still, three first-round picks, we can do a lot of damage right away. Like
so,
I said.
Do you think that Gruden has the eye to actually go out and get the players that are going to have an immediate impact?
I think so. I think the one thing is what he needs to trust his players, and he didn't trust very many players on this team. And the thing with Gruden is he's making it very clear with all the not keeping Khalil Mack, with trading Cooper. He's making it clear that he wants his guys, and I think he's going to get them. And once he gets them, he's going to trust them and develop them the way he wants, because those are the guys he's committed to, and he really wasn't committed to this roster that he had on him. So this draft, I mean, he's got to score. Two out of three have to be big playmakers in this draft. We have to find at least two out of three that are going to help our team right away and get us on the right track, or he'll be back on the hot seat or something like that, you know.
And where do you think that the focus should be at in this draft? Should it be on the defensive side of the ball? Should it be on the offensive side?
There's a lot of holes. We could go D. We could go linebacker. We could definitely go corner safety. We could, I'm thinking running backs. We got to replace Marshawn Lynch. You know, okay. Doug Martin's on the one-year deal. He is looking pretty good, but you never know. And Jalen Rashad can't carry 20 balls, you know. He got to come in on third down. He got to get those pass catches, but that's about it. You know, he's a stud with that way, but we can't use him and pound him into the ground, you know.
Yeah.
So running back, probably, I would say running back. We definitely need a receiver now that Cooper's out, so it would be nice. But like I said, there's a lot of holes everywhere on this Raider team. So Gruden, he better watch a lot of film.
So overall, you know, we've got turmoil with Gruden. We've got, you know, rookies that are showing promise. We've got Carr. Right. You know, it seems like he's a little anxious in the pocket these days. And
definitely.
Doug Martin in the whole backfield, that's a question mark at this point in time. And, you know, we got some, you know, as far as the veterans, we're going to keep Cook. Jordy Nelson's a question mark.
Absolutely.
We got great draft picks coming up. So that's, you know, pretty much what's going on in Raider Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be switching gears over to the Lakers. And getting on to the point where we need to begin to. So it's time for that time of the day where we've been to the Lakers. Okay. Getting into the Lakers today.
All right.
So subject number one for the Los Angeles Lakers today is going to be, are they hitting their stride? And now we're about to get into that time of the day where we talk about the Lakers. All right. So the first thing we're going to get into with the Los Angeles Lakers today is, are they starting to hit their stride? Is the ball starting to roll in the right direction? Are they about to start winning a bunch of ball games that we don't know about?
I think we still got a ways to go, man.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go on ups. We're going to go on downs. I mean, we won three in a row right now. It's three in a row. Looking good. We're starting to develop, but, like, hey, man, we won by 1 point against the Hawks last night.
Yeah, I know.
That just shows me we're getting there. We're learning how to win those games, but we still got a ways to go on defense. With some chemistry, you know, we got to figure out these lineups a little better, because it seems like things aren't sticking the right way. It seems like things aren't flowing the way they should be with these names we got.
Yeah.
I don't know. It still seems like we got a ways to go. So I don't think we're hitting our stride quite yet. I think we got a little ways to go with that one.
Well, if you look at the team and look at, like, last night, if for instance, down the stretch, if you look at the lineup that they had on the court, I believe they had Kuzma, Hart, LeBron. Ingram, and was it Caldwell Pope in there?
No, in the starting lineup it was Lonzo.
Okay.
We had Brandon Ingram, Kuzma, LeBron, and McGee.
But who finished the game? That like the lineup that finished the game.
Definitely Lonzo wasn't. It was Rondo instead of Lonzo.
Yeah.
It was
But down the stretch, they didn't even have Rondo finishing the game. It was at one point
Josh Hart.
It was Josh Hart, LeBron James, you got Kuzma. And you got
Tyson Chandler. He was taking the minutes from McGee, definitely.
So even at that point, we don't even have a true point guard on the floor in these times. You
and
know?
It shows that we still don't even know who to finish with. Because Tyson Chandler just came on, and he's now he's our finisher.
He's our finisher.
We're still figuring things out. Definitely still figuring things out.
Okay, so transitioning to Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
Do you what are you seeing that he's doing the most? Man. The impact that he's bringing to the team in this 3-game winning streak, you know, to get us back over 500.
That man came off the street. Came off Phoenix's bench and making a huge impact. Talk about man. It. Hey, he's earning every minute he gets. He earns every single minute he gets. I like how him and McGee are basically splitting time.
Yeah.
And whoever's hot, whoever's guarding the paint the right way is the one that's in. He's the one that's playing, man. He, like I said, Chandler's been there 3 days and he finished the game just because he could guard. He put up, what, 3 points?
Yeah.
12 rebounds, though. Yeah. Stephen A. Smith was saying, all he can do is rebound. Hey, that's all we need him to do. That's all we need him to do.
It's almost like you wish they could like morph into one player and just give you everything that they need. But Luke Walton's definitely got a good combination with them switching in and out for each other.
Tyson Chandler was coming needed. Back was and forth. Needed.
I definitely see Tyson Chandler getting the bulk of the minutes because, you know, JaVale McGee can only give you so much. Take, for instance, last night there was a stretch where McGee airballed the three. And he came down the court, and he was late on the closeout. You got Luke Walton pulling him right out like that to settle him down and then getting him right back in there. So what do you think about, like, this short leash that, you know, that he's having now that we got Tyson Chandler?
Quick one. Why the heck is McGee out in the three-point corner right there, like, in the wing? Why the hell is he sitting out there? You know, seriously, he should be in the paint looking for the alley-oop. I mean, what did we bring him for here? Not to shoot threes, you know?
Yeah.
But that's just a whole nother story, honestly. I think it really should go to anyone whichever one's hotter. If McGee comes out, he's been coming out in these first quarters and scoring 10 points and getting 8 rebounds and getting 2-3 blocks. So if he's doing that, we give him the bulk, you know? And Tyson Chandler's okay with getting 15-20 minutes because obviously he wasn't getting any minutes now. And he's now on a contender playing with LeBron James, you know? So, hey, if Tyson Chandler can come out and do play great defense and get the blocks and score a few buckets and he's feeling good and McGee's not feeling it, why not give him the same minutes that McGee was getting, you know?
Yeah.
He can switch. It don't matter.
Man, overall about this team, I think that, like, you know, far as them playing together and having that cohesion, you know, where they just come together and they play together. I still feel like there's quite a bit of ways to go.
Yeah,
you know,
they got a ways to gel.
And you know, when as far as us making the playoffs and doing things like that, I mean, in order for us to talk about that, we gotta at least be able to come together as a team and figure out who's gonna close, who's gonna start the game, who's, you know, defined roles on the team. Right now, I feel like there's a lot of undefined roles. And, you know, what speaks volumes to that is when you look at the box score every night. You know, sometimes you got Ingram finishing with 20 shots a game.
Yeah,
sometimes
crazy.
You got him taking 8 shots a game.
That's
you know, that's not consistent enough, you know.
Exactly.
Especially from, you know, what we thought would be a guy that would be a focal point.
LeBron James,
you know, to go alongside of him, you know, that's not consistent enough from him, and you know, we just got to do better with that. So,
one point I want to put in real quick, I think that we definitely have a deep 10 players that are all good, they're all playmakers,
yeah,
but Luke Walton and the organization really hasn't figured out what order they are in yet. You know what I'm saying? We don't know if Stevenson is our number 9 or our number 6.
Yeah.
We don't know if Brandon Ingram's our number 2 or our number 4.
Yeah.
We don't know where Lonzo fits on any of that. We don't know where Kuzma sits on that. There's a lot of figuring out to do, definitely.
And let's just put it like this. You know, any elite team out there these days, if you want to beat the Golden State Warriors, I mean, last year you would include a Houston Rockets team, but this year, you know, you don't know what you're going to get out of them. But Denver Nuggets this year, any of these elite teams that you want to beat, the San Antonio Spurs too, if you want to beat any of these teams to get to the level and the games that you would like to be playing in at the end of the season, then you have to prove that you have a lineup, something consistent that you can go to. I mean, this is what this league is built on after all. You getting a skill and you being able to use that skill night in and night out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't agree less with what you said. So another thing with the Lakers this season so far in this young season, as I should put, a lot of things that's going on, a lot of speculation is going on around the league on all the networks last couple of weeks is, you know, Luke Walton being on the hot seat. And it starts with ESPN reporting this that this argument that takes place between Luke Walton and Magic Johnson, and then it being so bad that it goes up to Jeannie Buss. You know, I just want to say, from my opinion, I do not think that Luke Walton should be on the hot seat early. After all, this is what these guys upstairs in the front offices gave him to work with. You know, we had a long time to make some moves, and we could have brought in some other players besides the ones that we did bring in, or even evaluated the free agents a little bit better. So, you know, what's your whole take on this Luke Walton situation?
Well, I think one thing is, once you coaching in Lakerland, you pretty much always on the hot seat. If you ain't bringing contention, you know, if you're not in contention every year, you in the hot seat. Like I said, we 10 games in and he's still getting barked at, man. It's too early if you ask me. But he is on the hot seat in terms of being a Laker coach and having LeBron and not being great yet.
Okay.
But other than that, man, if you ask me, I think we give him at least a year. I thought he was in our future plans the way they were talking about him in the offseason. And all of a sudden we hear about Magic, Luke Walton meetings.
Me too.
6 games in. And honestly, if I think about it, I think that's a little premature on Magic's side. It's a little too early to be barking like that. And it wasn't that bad. And we've been winning ever since. You know, ever since with that, we have been winning. So I guess maybe I should give Magic a little credit. Maybe it gave him a little pep in their step. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. In my opinion, I think that Magic Johnson went in there hot-headedly, not thinking things through. And he wanted to, like, you know, this. I guess Magic saw this as a moment to exert himself onto Luke Walton and to show him who's boss and, you know, how things are going to be, what direction things are going to be moving in from now on. And, you know, what I see when I watch a Lakers game is I see a Luke Walton trying to figure out what he can to make this team work. He's doing everything. He's not just sitting there with his legs crossed and his arms folded, not making substitutions, not trying to play different players, not trying to make things happen. You know, I think he's doing everything that you can do. I mean, if you let him go, who are you going to bring in that's going to do any better? I mean, I heard some people mention Brian Shaw. And, you know, I just think that the guy's been there. You know, if he was going to be a head coach for the Los Angeles Lakers, it should have been taking place.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, honestly, you bring Brad Stevens into our offense, and he's still going to have the same struggles that Luke Walton has. And if you look at the Boston Celtics from last year compared to this year, he's still struggling. He's got all the talent in the world. So what's it going to do if Brian Shaw comes in? He's got to start all over with the same things we just talked about. He's still trying to figure out where Brandon Ingram fits, where Lonzo is, where everyone fits. And it's not fair to Luke Walton. It's not fair to the organization to say that, I don't know. I guess I'll put it differently. I guess it's not fair. We should just wait and see, honestly, because there's development that needs to be made.
I agree.
And they need to be patient. We need to be patient and see it through. We need to see it through.
I agree. So, transitioning from Luke Walton and his whole drama that he's got going on right now, the emerging core, like we touched on Ingram and we touched on his inconsistencies.
Yeah, I like this. I
want
to get into this.
But you know, as far as the core, the young core, we're talking Lonzo, we're talking Kuzma, we're talking Ingram, and we're talking Hart. So we're gonna start in that order.
Yeah.
What are you seeing from Lonzo Ball so far in this early season that's encouraging you?
First off, I just want to say I like all the young guys, and I would not have been mad to see what they would have done without LeBron on this team. I would
That's a pretty bold statement right there.
Very excited to see what Lonzo, Kuzma, Ingram, Hart would have done without LeBron taking 30 minutes up. And no knock on LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron's great. We all know. No one has to say anything about that. We all know the greatness of LeBron. But I think we would have been in contention with these young guys getting the minutes, all the minutes in the world, basically. You know, Luke Walton gives them the offense, gives them the reins. They're going to make something happen, I think, even at this young age. Starting with Lonzo,
yeah,
obviously he's at about 9 points a game. He's about 5 assists, 4 rebounds. I think he's downgraded a little bit from last year because he's still trying to figure out where he fits on this team.
Mm-hmm.
I think Luke Walton definitely sees the promise in him because he's keeping him in the starting lineup over Rondo, which is it's kind of bold at this point because you could say Rondo's outplaying him at this point.
Yeah.
But I think Lonzo really needs the minutes, and he needs to develop, and I think Luke Walton sees that because he has so much potential.
And here's the thing with Lonzo. I'm definitely seeing the potential with him, and the mistakes that I'm seeing out of him, I think that they come from him just wanting to do too much.
Trying too hard.
Yeah, I don't think it's his mistakes come from a lack of skill, a lack of not being able to play the game or understanding the game. You know, I just think that he wants to really make an impact. I think he's a young kid trying to prove himself to LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And he's doing everything he really can do to you know, just become that player that everybody wants him to be. But, you know, Luke Walton, with him being on the hot seat, he has to go for victories early in the season. He can't afford to experiment.
Yeah, it's tough to develop under those type of circumstances. Yeah,
it looks like it's hurting Lonzo right now.
We'll see. I definitely love Lonzo. I won't say anything bad about Lonzo. I think he's got all the talent in the world. His passing is top notch. He's one of the best passers in the NBA, and I know that sounds bold, but if you watch the film,
yeah,
man, he can see the whole field definitely at all times, and he can make all the passes. If his shot develops and he was scoring about 15, 16 a game at this point, I think everyone would be praising him. That's the real difference.
Yeah.
He just can't score consistently at this point.
Yep, and it comes from confidence. So what about Kuzma? Like, how are we feeling about Kuz?
Man, Kuz. Hey, Kuz, man, he gets me excited, man. The thing is, I think he's got a lot of potential to be at like a 25-30 point scorer in this league, to be honest. But he's one of those guys, like I said, I'd be really excited to see without LeBron, because you give him 30-35 minutes, man, he can score 50. He can score 60.
Yeah. Really,
he's unstoppable on offense. I'd like to see his defense be better, but yeah, I understand why his defense isn't so good if he's going to be putting up good numbers.
I got you.
And he's working with what he got right now. He's about 20-25 minutes a game, and he makes it happen, man. He's scoring about 15 points a game. You know, he gets those sneaky 20-point games, and he doesn't even get those minutes. You know, you look at the box score at the end of the game, you're like, when did Kuzma score 20 points? You know, yeah, but he does it pretty consistently.
Well, he definitely has that presence on the floor.
Absolutely.
And he definitely has it's just something about that kid. You know, I feel like he has the if we're going to talk about the young core, I feel like he has the most heart. You know, I know that's absolutely overrated. I know the heart's overrated, you know, but like I believe that guy has what it takes to, you know, to have that drive to stay in the league for 15 to 20 years, you know.
We're going
to
see, hopefully, and he stays a Laker, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, so getting into Ingram, we touched on that a little bit earlier. His inconsistencies. You know, earlier in the season, you got LeBron James praising him, saying that, you know, this kid's going to be problems to deal with and things of that nature on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And now we get to the season and you see, Ingram, he's just inconsistent. Sometimes, like I said, one game you got him taking 8 shots, one game you got him taking 20, you know, which we can't really find a consistent way to win when we don't know where we're going to get out of our supposed second best player on the team at this point in time. So, how do you feel about that kid right now?
Well, like you said, we thought he was going to be our second best player. And now we're looking at it 10 games in, and we have to question that already. Because, like you said, he's putting up 8 shots a game. If you're going to be the second best player, there's no way you can have 8 shots a game.
Yeah.
No. Not in one game, not in 2 games, none of that. No, you need to be shooting double digits every single game.
Yeah.
With that mentality, he's just being a little too soft, if you ask me. I love the kid, and he's one of those guys, like I said about Lonzo, Luke sees the potential in that kid, so he's giving him all the minutes. He's giving him all the shots. He's giving him the green light. He just has to take advantage, and he got to be aggressive. And I think he's trying. But like we said about everyone else and with Luke Walton in the organization, we got some figuring out to do. And he needs to take that number two spot, or maybe even think he's better than LeBron and, you know, try to challenge him, you know?
Yeah.
Because he has that potential.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely seen some instances this season where I've seen you know, I frankly watched it. I saw LeBron walk the ball up court at one point in time this season, wave Ingram off, you know.
Yeah,
Ingram,
no, we've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, he got really mad. He didn't. He looked like he didn't like it.
I like that out of him.
So it looked like he has that potential, but he's got to bring that on a consistent basis.
We need about 15, 17, 20, you know, every game. We can't have these 8-point games, these 9-point games with Brandon Ingram. He plays good defense. He shows that he has heart and he wants to win. He needs to shoot the ball.
Right. So, okay, his fan favorite. I think it's safe to say that everybody loves Josh Hart at this point in time.
And he's a good freaking player.
You know, I'm one of those people that thinks Josh Hart should be starting. I know he brings something off the bench, but you know, you can't take away the fact that you got to start fast in today's NBA.
Hey, man,
now, I don't think – I know that every game you can't be in the lead the whole game, but I think that in today's NBA, you definitely got to start fast, and you got to have your best shooters on the floor to start the game. You know, it's just, you can't afford to fall behind 6 or 7 points in the first quarter and then bring your shooter in and think that you're just going to do what you need to do to get back into these games. These games can get away from you quickly nowadays, and you know it. All it takes is one team to come out on fire, and you're behind. So, what do you think about Josh Hart?
Well, before I get into what you were saying about the starter or non-starter with Hart, I just want to say the kid is one of my favorites also. I love the kid. He is an absolute beast on both sides of the ball, if you ask me. He's consistent on offense. He's very consistent on defense. He does not get bullied by anyone in the league. He can guard down low, even though he's 6'2", 6'3". He can shoot consistently, make three balls. He can get down low, make layups. The kid, you know, he's proven he can start, definitely, definitely. And the thing is, there might be an argument for him starting, obviously, but I think he really goes and he's strong off the bench. I think he's strong no matter how many minutes he gets because he's so efficient and so consistent.
Yeah.
You give him 10, you give him 20 minutes, you give him 30 minutes, he's really going to keep getting you what you need.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be affected by whether if he comes off the bench or if he's starting.
Not
you know, it doesn't seem to affect him. You know, I think he's one of probably the most humble kids on the team, you know.
And he's definitely forced himself in the rotation from last year. He was the third most talented first round pick that we had last year, you know, and then he forced his hand, played so well in the summer league, played so well in the few minutes we gave him as a rookie.
They had to carve a spot out for him.
Absolutely. He forced himself into the Laker Nation.
Okay, man. All right. So that wraps up on our young core. The last subject we're going to get into with today on the Lakers is the leadership of LeBron. LeBron James. LeBron James.
Whoa.
So, like, you know, what are you seeing out of him? You know, what do you think? Is he handling it? Is he living up to the hype? What are you seeing?
First off, I guess I can't say I'm not there every day. I'm not at the gym practicing with them. I'm not seeing him with the young guys. I can just read body language, watch the games, see the scores, read the box sheets, you know, all that. You know, you do the same thing. Everyone does the same thing.
Yeah.
But from what I see, I think he's doing a relatively good job leading them. I think he could do better, but I think we have to read the history books and see how the other two spots went for him when he started, you know?
Yeah.
When he was in Miami, when he went back to Cleveland, they started slow. They started slow.
Yeah.
So we got to give him a little leeway. Like I was saying with Luke, we got to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like he's always saying the right things. There's a few times where he slips up and the media jumps him. They jump him.
Yeah.
And he's getting used to being a Laker because it's a whole different beast out here compared to Cleveland. There's too many cameras in his face compared to Cleveland, you know?
Yeah,
there's way too many cameras. And, you know, sometimes you slip up, say the wrong thing. He's human. But he seems like he's supporting all our young guys. He shouts out Lonzo. He shouts out Ingram. He says how talented our young guys are. On the court, it really seems like he's just a little bit too overwhelmed right now, but he's still putting up really good numbers.
Yeah.
So you got to praise him for that. I think he hasn't really settled into being a Laker yet. And he's got a little bit to go when it comes to comfortability. I think that shows in the free throws, in the misses, up close in the post.
I mean,
some layups. The free throws are low, man. He's shooting low. And I think it just goes to comfortability. You know, he's still trying to figure out his place and figure out this place as home.
Yeah.
But he'll get there. He'll get there. He's LeBron. He's proven that he'll get there.
Yeah, man. I mean, you mentioned the free throw situation. I mean, here we are, I want to say, what, 12 games into the season?
Yeah.
And this guy has had two or three different games where he's been on the line and it's looked really shaky.
Yeah.
So
and he's not shooting terrible. It's right here, 73% from the free throw line. So he's not shooting terrible, but it seems like he's missing the big ones.
Oh, the ones that count, they're not going in, you know, and that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. You know, I feel like last night they were lucky with the putback dunk. You know, he gets that putback.
He was very blessed with that.
I mean, because you think about it. If he misses those free throws and does not get
shout
that
out
putback.
Shout out to Kuzma for getting two offensive rebounds back
to
back.
There you go,
boy,
Kuz.
Because without that, LeBron is on ESPN right now.
Oh, yeah, he's on ESPN getting blasted by everybody all day and all night. Yep. So, like, you know, and, you know, he just got to be thankful for his teammates and what they do bring to the table. They might be young and still learning, but they created that opportunity for him to have that putback last night.
Yep, and I think all the young guys are still just trying to figure out their ranks, you know, figure out how to play with this cat, man, because LeBron's getting a lot of minutes. And last year, you know, they had all the reins in the world because there was no one like that. So there's a lot of getting used to in these last couple of months.
Well, yeah, I think LeBron is, I think, you know, in my opinion, I think he's handling everything okay. I'm not at the level of being impressed where I'm sitting here and saying, oh, he's back to the GOAT and he's the guy that can take any team to the promised land. You know, I'm not saying that right now. It doesn't mean that I won't be saying it by the end of the season. It doesn't mean that I won't be saying it in a couple of weeks from now.
Absolutely.
But I think that he's definitely doing what he can do with what he's given and the current circumstances.
Yep.
And that pretty much wraps up our Laker content for the day. So shout out to them Lakers. So now we get ready to transition into one of our favorite topics. We pick players.
Last segment, baby.
Dom and me, myself, Twan, we're going to both be picking some players from the teams, you know, that we feel that you should be looking out for, or you know, maybe not, man, I get that much love, or, you know, that we think they have potential, but just aren't necessarily getting that shine. So, we'll start off with the Oakland Raiders. And who are you seeing that should be getting that praise love right now?
So, my Raider shiner right now, today, is Maurice Hurst, man.
Okay.
That D-tackle from Michigan, that fifth-round pick that should have been a first-round pick, man. Mm-hmm. He's a beast, and he's only got three tackles, but there's been plenty of D-tackles that have came through at Oakland, and you just see them kind of disappear when they're out there. You know, they get all the snaps, and they get one or two sacks a season. Man,
yeah.
And this seems like just rookie off the bat, man. He's coming out, and he's beating people up.
Yeah.
He's playing tough. He's getting to the quarterback, regardless if he gets a sack or not. So, man, shout out to my boy, 73, right here, Hurst. Yeah.
He looks very disciplined out there. He looks like he's not trying to force it and do his own thing out there, and that's definitely important.
Steal the draft, man. Steal the draft.
Okay, so my Oakland shiner of the week is going to be I'm going to go with the Oakland Raider fans. And you know why? Because I see these people wearing their jerseys all day, every day. They still support the Raiders.
Yes, sir.
They still have I don't want to say a winning attitude, but they still have an attitude.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
They have an attitude that's not
hey, I'm wearing
down.
My sweatshirt to work tomorrow.
You know, so like, you know, my salute goes to the Raider fans for having to deal with a coach that has come in and basically breaking
yes,
the team
sir,
apart
yes,
without even letting them know. And, you know, not to knock Gruden or make his job hard or make people turn against him. But, you know, he said some things that he didn't live up to already. And my thing is I still support the Raider fans. You know, if you look at the black hole, the black hole was filled and they was happy. And they left when they was losing.
Oh, yeah. You best believe the Raider fans are going to make the best of it. That's how we do it. We've been used to this losing.
All right. Transitioning to the Lakers. Who is your Lakers shiner of the week that you're
shiner,
looking for? Him? Okay.
My shiner, I could not help it, man. I had to go with Hart, man. Because no matter what he balls, no matter what he does, he goes out and balls, man. The bench, starting, whatever. He needs to do whatever he needs to do.
Okay.
He gets it done for the Lakers. Whatever Luke Walton asks, he gets done shooting threes, guarding whoever, guarding a four when he's a number two. Mm-hmm. He does it, man. I got to give a shout out to Josh Hart, man. Shout out to Josh Hart.
Okay, so shout out to Josh Hart, you know, and I have no problems with you picking Josh Hart. I want to go with my buddy Jonathan Williams.
Okay, man. I like that. Going deep onto the roster.
Yeah, I know he doesn't get a lot of clock. He doesn't get a lot of love. A lot of people don't really know who he is.
He's not supposed to get minutes.
But every time I've seen this cat come on the floor, he brings an undeniable energy.
Absolutely.
That you just can't help but love the kid. And you can't help but thinking, you see, I see like a Jordan Bell role for him. Okay. I see like, you know, him being that kind of player if he's given a chance.
It just seems like he out-hustles people.
Yeah, I mean, and you can't teach that. You can't teach that. You can't make someone have that. It's just either you got it or you don't. So that's why he's pretty much my shout-out. My shiner of the week for the Lakers. So, we're going to give our shout-out. We're going to transition to one of our last segments of the day, which is the shout-out.
Yeah,
we shout-out players from the past that, you know, that are forgotten about, and they brought so much energy and joy to us as sports fans throughout
the
years.
And show them love.
Now that it's 2018, nobody's tweeting about them or talking about them, but you know, over here in me and Dom's heart, we still think about these guys. Who's that guy that you want to talk about, Dom?
All right, first off, we'll start with the NFL. I'm going. This one means a lot to me right here, Tuan. This one means a lot to me because probably my favorite player right here.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with my boy number 52, Kirk Morrison. And Raider, they know that man. They know that man. He only played five years as
Kirk
a Raider.
Kirk Morrison.
He only played 5 years as a Raider.
Yeah.
And every year, hundreds of times. He got 115 tackles every single year he played as a Raider.
Yeah.
Every game he was out there hyping up the black hole. Mm. I grew up watching this man, and I know he went through some losing years. And people don't seem to remember him when it comes down to it because of all those losses we took. You know, we weren't too relevant. We weren't on those national TV games. But shout out to Kirk Morrison. I just want you to know we remember you, man. We love you.
Shout out to Kirk Morrison.
Kirk Morrison, you the man. You the man.
All right. And a person or, you know, a former football player that I want to shout out that I know that a lot of people have forgotten about. And, you know, I don't mean to get touchy here, but
okay.
I want to shout out Eric LeGrand from the Farmers Rucker.
Throwback.
Yeah, shout out to Eric LeGrand. You know, my heart goes out to the young man because he received an injury to his spinal cord where he can no longer walk. He's paralyzed now. And at the time when it happened, you know, everybody was, Eric LeGrand, supporting him. And, you know, the reason why I'm bringing him up today is because it's been 8 years since he suffered the injury. And, you know, we live in a society where, you know, one day people are giving you love and caring about you. And then as time goes on, they don't even know your name no more.
Your name just slips the memory.
Yeah, we love the game of football, and it is a dangerous sport. And when somebody gets hurt from it, you want them to know that, you know, we know that you love the game and you gave your ability to walk playing this game. And, you know, I just want you, Eric LeGrand, to know that we're thinking about him, man.
Hey, we really appreciate all these players we watched growing up. They mean a lot to us, and I hope they know that as players.
Okay, man, and that's pretty much going to wrap up our show today. Episode one.
Hold up, I got to shout one more player.
Shout out to the surprise shout out.
I forgot about my last shiner. I shouted out Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
My NBA throwback, the guy that some people seem to forget about. I got to show him love
because
he meant a lot to me watching him in the NBA. My boy, Earl Boykins.
Earl
Boykins. Let me bring up a few stats about Earl Boykins. He played 13 years in this league in the NBA at 5'5", 132 pounds. People got dogs that weigh more than that. And this cat is out here dunking.
Wow,
scoring,
man.
14, 15 a game with Denver.
Yeah, man, I remember him getting up.
He played as a strong rookie. He found his role in Denver as a stud. And then he found a way to be a vet for 5-6 more years. Teach the young bucks how to do it at 5'5", 132. Let me say that one more time. The record for the smallest NBA player in history lasted 13 years in the league.
Mm.
And the guy can bench 115 pounds.
And how many 5'5 people do you know that can play in the NBA?
Hey, I'm not even gonna start. I'm 5'5" myself. I'm about 5'8", 5'9", so I can't even imagine.
Well, man, you can't forget about Earl Boykins. You know, he definitely was one of the guys I used to look at when he played.
Shout out Earl
for the Nuggets. So, you know, Earl Boykins. Shout out to Earl. Well, okay, so I think that definitely is gonna end the segment for today. If you like the content that we provided for you today, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Subscribe to the Twan and Don podcast, and hopefully we can keep this coming to you. Hopefully we can get some sponsors and, you know, really get the ball rolling for this program and keep it coming to you on a
but nonetheless, basis. We're going to be here from now on every week. We're going to do this podcast. Shout out to our Raider Laker fans, and hopefully we get the ball rolling like Twan said, and we can get some fans calling in, and we can talk with you guys and see what you guys are feeling and represent y'all, because that's what we're here to do.
All right, so you've heard it, and you've heard it here with Twan and Dom for the Lakers and the Raiders.
Raiders!